Hey A1 fans, Andy here. We're going to Cisco Live and we can't wait to see you there. If we see you wearing an A1 or Cables to Cloud shirt at Cisco Live, we'll enter you in our giveaway that includes a bunch of cool prizes like an A1 branded Yeti cup and an OCG of your choice from our friends at Cisco Press. Don't have a shirt? No problem. Head to the link in our bio and grab yours today. See you soon.
This is the Art of Network Engineering podcast. In this podcast, we'll explore tools, technologies, and talented people. We aim to bring you information that will expand your skill sets and toolbox and share the stories of fellow network engineers.
Hey, A1 fans, AJ here. Before we get started in the episode, just wanted to let you know and acknowledge that there's been an awful lot going on in social media for women in tech. This particular episode was recorded on Monday, December 20th, which was before a lot of that kind of unfolded and took place. And that's why there's no direct mention of it here in this episode, but we will certainly talk about that a whole lot more. Enjoy the show.
Okay. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Art of Engineering podcast. You may have noticed in the last like 2.5 seconds that I am not AJ Murray, aka No Blinky Blinky. I'm someone else, and we'll introduce ourselves in a second. But just for some context on this episode, this is kind of a special episode tonight. It's the result basically of some really great conversations between all of us and the regular, you know, Art of Network Engineering podcast co-hosts. And basically the guys have expressed a desire to highlight the voices of women in network engineering on the podcast. So they have very graciously invited us to basically take over the podcast for an episode and share our experiences and talk about what it's like. So, without further ado, why don't we go ahead and introduce ourselves? I'll start. My name is Lexi. You might know me as Track It Pacer on Twitter for the most part. I've been a network engineer for about 3 years now. I used to work at IBM in their hybrid cloud, and now I'm working at Blue Origin in avionics integration.
Very cool. I'll jump in. Yvonne? So I'm Yvonne Sharp on Twitter at Sharp Network. I am currently a technical transformation lead for Google Cloud. Before that was a solutions engineer for VMware. And then before that, spent 9 years as an enterprise network engineer. I've also done a lot of work for small VARs and integrators. So But we're not going to add up all those years. But anyway, excited to be here and talk about women in network engineering.
And hi, everyone. I'm Micheline Murphy, and I'm on Twitter at MichyFishMurphy. Currently, I just took a new role. So my current new role is as a pre-sales consulting systems engineer at WWT, which is a Cisco partner on the West Coast, St. Louis to the West Coast. Hoping to get larger. Before that, I was an implementation engineer at CDW, where I specialized in designing, implementing, troubleshooting Cisco ACI data centers. And before that, I was a trial lawyer for 15 years. Decided that was getting a little stale, a little boring, and decided to try something new. Made the transition over the course of I'd say about 4 or 5 years, and then now here I am.
And that sound means it's time for the wins. Winning in our Discord channel this week is Robin Canella. He passed the CompTIA Project Plus exam. Congratulations, Robin. Adil Khan finished one off right before the end of the year, the AZ-700, which is the Designing and Implementing Azure Networking exam. Congratulations, Adil. Bill Murray passed the JNCIS Service Provider Specialist exam. Congratulations, Bill. And Adam Smith received an offer. This is incredible. Adam received an offer for his first IT networking job as a senior network engineer at a local municipality. Congratulations, Adam. Tata the Automator did a collaborative giveaway with David Bomble where they gave away over 600 copies of David's Udemy courses, which is a value of over $20,000 given to women in tech. Congratulations, Tata. That is fantastic. New Patreon joining us this week is Jao Munez. Thank you so much for your support of what we do here at the Art of Network Engineering. If you're interested in joining our Patreon program and joining us every time we record an episode, you can do so at patreon.com/artofneteng. And we thank all of our listeners for your support and wish you a very happy new year. Welcome to 2022. Now back to the show.
Hey, excited to be here tonight. All right. Well, let's just dive into it. Y'all both have a lot more experience than I do in the workplace with network engineering specifically. And, I mean, how's it been? As you know, we're talking specifically, you know, about what is it like being a woman in network engineering, which I guess really could apply to being a woman in tech in general, right? What have your experiences been, you know, what have your experiences been as you know, women over the years in different companies and moving back and forth? How is it, you know, has it been different at different companies? Has your experience as a woman been mostly the same?
I'll
rate it on a scale of 1 to 10.
I'll kick it off. Well, I mean, so I've had a great career, first of all. And I've had lots of wonderful experiences. I mean, my entire career, though, I have almost always been the only woman in the room. But that was not necessarily something I was uncomfortable with. I mean, I grew up within a farm family, and my dad was a farmer, and I was always interested in the stuff the men were talking about. Like, I didn't want to be in the kitchen. I didn't want to be cooking. I wanted to be hanging out with the guys talking about farming stuff. So that, and I was a science math kid in school. My favorite teachers were all men. So I was really comfortable with that. And I will say that I've had some great advocates and guys throughout my career who've, you know, seen some ability there and encouraged me, which has been wonderful. I mean, I have had some negative experiences, but nothing like I've heard other people describe, and I'm really grateful for that. I've always been around enough advocates to kind of fill in that gap, but I've also been pretty careful. Like, if I got the creeps, I would avoid certain individuals, or, you know, just be really aware. Especially when I was younger, I'm in my 40s now, so I don't feel like it's such a big deal, but, I was always careful at conferences and things like that, but I'll say, like, my overall experience has been positive. I mean, we can tell a negative story or two, but I've had more trouble with leadership than I have with, like, technical peers. They've been wonderful for the most part.
That's interesting. Do you mind if we dig into that? You don't have to get very specific.
No, I mean, I won't name names, but I've had the experience. Mm-hmm. So I was at a large healthcare company, and there was one senior director who I did not report up through him. But anytime we were on the call, there would be times when it was as if I was not speaking. Like, at one point it was so obvious. I had a colleague message me in the background and go, "I am so sorry he's behaving this way." You know what I mean? Like, it was obvious enough for somebody to point it out. I think I worked in an engineering firm, a civil engineering firm, when I was young, and there was like a guy who was older. He was in his 60s and I was in my 20s. And, you know, there's just creepy stuff. But yeah. He never spoke to me unless just the two of us were in a room together, like the copy room or something. And then it would be like, "Hey, beautiful."
Ew.
You know? Ew. And one time, like, I was standing at a counter and he walked up and put his hand on the small of my back. It was just creepy. You know what I mean? And so he was then on my radar list, like, never going to be in the building alone with this guy and going to keep my distance because it was just uncomfortable. Now, there was another guy there who joked around all the time. And my last name is Sharp. So I'd walk in the room. He'd be like, "Well, there's a sharp woman." But he joked all the time. And he was that way, whether people were in the room or were not in the room. It was like his nature, right? Which is very different than creepy dude who never acknowledges my presence except when nobody else is around. Like, that was creepy.
And then touches you in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But, so you said he was on your radar after that. You also mentioned earlier, like, being careful.
Yeah.
I think we know what that means, but for, you know, can you talk about that a little bit more? Like, how have you been careful?
Well, so I personally, I don't drink anyway. Like, that's just a choice my family makes. But like, I would never, like, in a work situation, be in a situation where I've intentionally limited my inhibitions or my cognitive ability. Like, I just don't think that's safe. And I think I've always try to have a safe person, you know, somebody you know their character, you trust them. Like, so if you're in a new situation, to have somebody, another colleague there who you're like, if I needed a ride or if somebody got really weird, I could go to them and go, hey, could you walk me back to where? And like, you know, at conferences, I'm not going to stay out in the bar, even not drinking until 11 p.m., right? Like, I'm going to go back to my room at 9:30. And, you know,
I am so curious about the conference experience. That was something I wanted to ask about, because I actually have not been to a conference yet.
I was always with great groups of people, like at Cisco Live, I've never had a problem.
Yeah, Cisco Live.
Yeah.
But I've always been really careful.
But you've been careful.
Yeah.
Right.
At the last Cisco Live that was in San Diego, I went out with some folks. And we started out with a bunch of folks that, you know, they were all people in the same program that I was in. So, you know, we started out at a dinner that we were being hosted for. And, you know, and eventually, you know, there's always imbibing involved. And I'm kind of like Yvonne. I'm always I try to always be really socially aware. I'm not going to abstain. I'll drink one drink, you know, just so that I have something in my hand. But I, you know, especially in a strange town, and I don't know, if you'll pardon the pun, I don't know where all the exits are. you know, there's a certain amount of hypervigilance that, you know, smart women, have to have, that, you know, I've never seen my male peers have to worry about something like that. You know, but I like distinctly remember I had gone out with some folks, went out with a guy that, you know, I would trust with my life, went out with a couple of other women, and the other women got really, really drunk. And so here we were in a strange city, and, you know, he had left earlier. And so it was just the three of us. And so, you know, I was the only sober person around, and I'm like, fuck, I got to get everybody home, you know? And so it's 2:00 and I'm like walking all over, you know, San Diego, trying to get these women home, you know, and home people safely. So, it's a thing that, you know, it's just one of those extra steps that women just have to do. And, you know, and women have to watch out for each other. You know, when, you know, you don't see your male counterparts ever having to take all of these extra steps. I remember a time I was being shadowed on a call by a male peer of mine, and I was conducting the workshop. So I was talking to the customer and whatnot. And afterwards, you know, he goes to me, he goes, Mish, you should just tell them what to do. And, you know, How do you tell another engineer, a guy engineer who, you know, I could tell he just didn't have a clue. I mean, until you've established yourself as a woman, as an expert, you don't stand up in the front of the room and you just don't tell people what to do.
You have to kind of prove it first.
You gotta gently push the customer, you know, and persuade the customer that, oh yeah, this great idea that I should really just tell you what to do was their idea in the first place. And, you know, it's just another one of those examples that, you know, of how it's just more difficult. I mean, if I had the authority to just tell them what to do, you don't think I wouldn't do that?
I think
it's not that easy, buddy.
It is really in not that vein, easy, though.
Like, one of the things I've noticed in myself, and it's a skill that I've developed, which actually has served me well at this point, is that in my mind, I only get so many words. And so my words have to count. Like when I say something, it has to be meaningful. Because if I say something that's flippant and gets me dismissed, like that's not an opportunity that necessarily comes back around. So,
like, what do you mean by flippant? Sorry.
Well,
like,
I guess I have just always wanted to be sure when I say something, I know that I'm right and that it's going to be meaningful to the conversation. That, you know,
okay.
Because yeah. I don't want to misuse that opportunity. And I can think of a few key times in my career when I first started at the healthcare company. I was a contractor. I wasn't even full time, and I'd been there like 3 months, and I hadn't said hardly anything. I just kind of done my job, kept my head down. And at the time, we had like the old VPN 3000 concentrators, and we needed to set up land-to-land tunnels on ASAs, and I'd done a ton of that. Well, nobody who worked there had done that, and so the boss was like, "We need somebody to figure this out." I'm like, "Oh, I can do that," and I knew I could do it, and I'd done it before. And I came in and I fixed a problem in a couple of days that they thought it was going to take them a week to figure out because nobody done it. They're going to have to learn it. And it was a huge credibility builder for me, right? It would have been very different if I'd have been like, "Well, I think I could figure that out." You know what I mean? Like, speak up when you've got something to say, decisive. And if you don't, shut it. And that would be, I wish some of my dude friends knew how to do that.
But that's a huge struggle for me because everything that comes out of my mouth is almost always self-deprecating and like, I don't know what I'm doing, even if I do maybe know more about what I'm doing, because I'm so worried about, you know, looking like I don't know anything that I just try to get ahead of it. This is in technical environments, especially, right? Like, because I still feel super new and, you know, when you want to get ahead of it, so you're just going to tell people right away, "I don't really know what I'm doing," even if that's not totally accurate. And I've never heard a man do that. Not saying they don't do it ever, but like
in the sales world, like somebody's going to, you've got folks who play stump the chump with everybody. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm going to prove that I'm as smart as the, you know, sales engineer that I'm dealing with. Right. And so, I mean, stump the chump is a game that technical people like to play. So I don't think it's exclusive to us as women, but I do think I have always felt a burden to earn respect that other people, it's just assumed.
Yeah, I see that too. I mean, and I had to tell you this story. This is going to stick with me until the day I die. This was just before I went away to college. And my dad sat me down one day and he goes, "Miss, I got to tell you something." And he goes, "You know, you're a young woman and you're a Chinese woman, and you're never going to have a level playing field. And you're always going to have to be better and smarter and quicker in order just to get in the game." And, you know, my dad was really spare on advice. And so when he gave it, it's always something that really just sticks with you. Damn it, that's still true. That advice that my dad gave me when I went away to college when I was 16, damn it, that's still true. And it makes me mad because when he gave it to me, I was like, "No, that can't be true. That is so unfair." You know, I was like I was a hot-headed teenager then. You know, I'm a hot-headed not teenager now. You know, it still pisses me off that is the way things are, that as a woman, as a woman of color, I'm always going to have to be better than the boys, that I'm always going to have to be better, faster than the boys. And it's going to always have to be, you know, higher just to be on the same field with them. And, you know, now as a not teenager, you know, it's something that I've accepted, that it's just, that's just the way things are. But you know, it still makes me mad. I'm like, damn it. How come that guy gets to be mediocre and he's got like confidence to spare?
You know what? I wish I'm not saying I want to be just, I'm not saying I want to be mediocre necessarily, but I want to be like, I want it to be okay for anyone to be mediocre, anyone. And I feel like I have, I only ever, the few women that I've ever encountered in, you know, this field, I feel like every man who introduces like another woman to me is like really, really excited about her. And he's like, she's kick ass. She's so cool because she can do all this stuff. And it's great to like hear the support, but I also get this, it's this weird feeling of like, okay, but what if like there's a woman who's just like sort of okay at it? Just like a bunch of other men are. Can we just, I'm so sorry. I have this alarm keep going off. God, can we just have like permission to just be okay at our jobs? Like, do we have to always be the kick-ass empowering woman? You know, like that's amazing and great. But
I mean,
like,
it's yeah.
Can
I
we
mean,
just have
totally
permission
true.
To
it's,
be human?
It's really great to be kick-ass. It's great to be recognized as being kick-ass. But you know what? What gets my goat is that. Is that, you know, you're so alone sometimes, or I'm so alone, or maybe, you know, we all are so just that I feel like every time I get introduced to a new team, I'm carrying like the entire weight of womanhood on my shoulders. Yeah. I'm like, Jesus, how strong do you think I must be that I can be the woman representative for everybody? And, you know, why? And it's just like what you said. How come I just can't just be Mish?
I've never felt the need.
That's a great way to put it.
And mm-hmm. I've got so many ideas, but I want to circle back to something Michelin said real quick. Hooray for great dads.
Yeah.
Because most women that I have talked to, and I don't know Lexi's background, but most women that
I have an awesome
to,
dad. Okay. I'll just say that.
Okay. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, and I know another really excellent female engineer. All of us have had strong dads that we admired. I mean, that's 5 out of 5, right? That I know personally. And I think if you want your girls to be strong, be a great dad. Like, that's an important thing to know. Like, I had a dad with such integrity. I mean, he didn't miss a day of work for 13 years. He was a blue collar guy. But just, you know, not a lot of words, but just a great dad. And, it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah. I don't know about y'all, but my dad just told me all the time, you can do whatever you want to do. Just do whatever you want to do. Just do it. He didn't even really, you know, anything I was interested in, he was willing to help me out with that. He was really supportive, and I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. That means a lot.
Mm-hmm. So anyway,
and it gives
Dad.
You a good idea of
Thanks, Dad.
Thanks to all our dads.
You know, and I think it's important
gives you a
for
good
girls
reference.
To hear that it's okay to go do X, Y, Z. I mean, yeah. You know, it's okay to go be in science. It's okay to go be in engineering. It's okay to go, you know, do computer science. I had an experience, you know, and, you know, just to kind of go with that whole, you know, being okay to go do those things. When I was in, I think I was a freshman in high school or maybe a sophomore, my school offered the very first programming language class, basic. Oh my God, basic. I was interested in it. I wanted to try it out and see what it was. So the class was really small. There were 10 of us. I was the only girl in the classroom. The teacher didn't think that girls should code. So every time I asked a question, I got ignored. And
oh my God.
No, I got no help for any of the projects that we got set. I got no time, even though the class was small. I mean, it was 10. Everybody had a computer. We were all working on the same project right in the same room. You know, I got no FaceTime with the teacher. Do you think I finished the class? I didn't finish that class. You know,
why would you?
Yeah. I'm like, you know, I'm smarter than that. I'm not, I don't want to waste this fool's time, you know?
That's why I feel like, you know, having that support from your, you know, mom, dad, whoever, mm-hmm. you know, we talked about dads earlier, right? Like having, I think there's something special about having a man and maybe like the most important man to you potentially like tell you, you can do this.
You belong. Your voice matters. You belong. Yeah.
Yes, you matter. Yeah. And whatever you want to do, you can do, because we girls need it later really badly because right. we have experiences like that. Yeah. That's horrible. I can't yeah. believe
so
you just got ignored.
My folks, yeah. my mom put me in a little local programming class when I was 10. Like it was on Apple IIe's and we learned to write like aww. Basic loops. Right. And then I had some really phenomenal science teachers. Mm-hmm. Like my eighth grade science teacher was my best friend for a while. Like, and he was in his 70s. It was bad. socially challenged. I didn't even realize it was a thing until I got to college. So I wanted to major in chemistry, went to the University of Kentucky. My mom was a teacher. And so she's like, let's go over to the College of Education and talk to him. So I sit down, I'm sitting across the desk from the dean of the College of Education, and we're talking. I'm like, well, I'm thinking about majoring in chemistry. And she's like, it is so wonderful to see a young woman interested in the hard sciences. Oh. And I was like, huh? Like, you know what I mean? It was almost patronizing yeah. to me.
Yeah.
And that was like my first glimmer that like, huh? And then I switched over to computer science because I didn't want to do chemistry for a living. And I, only girl in most of my classes. And like, I had a work thing one day. And so I was wearing a kind of a pantsuit sort of a thing. It was the 90s. And like I walked into class, like with my hair fixed and no ponytail, and people almost did not recognize me. It was so funny. Like, but it was when I wasn't in my sweats and my ponytail, it was like, it was very clear that I was different than everybody else. You know what I mean? Yeah. It was just a moment that I remember like, oh, one of these things is not like the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you get a lot of weird attention too when that difference gets emphasized, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that fun. That difference can, if you're savvy, you can use that difference to good effect and set yourself apart. And I mean, there's no way that anything you say or do or, you know, any project that you complete successfully is ever going to erase the fact that you're a woman. So you might as well own it. Right. And, yeah. you know, if the way that, you know, customers remember me is, oh, that woman engineer from that, you know, from the ACI team, you know, she was awesome. I'm okay with that. You know, I want you to remember me and remember that I was awesome. And if the way for you to remember who I was is that I was the only damn woman on that team in the first place, okay. Okay. You know, and it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like taking these challenges that we've been given as women and just turning them on their head and then, you know, taking whatever advantage you can out of it. You know, and it's really not, you know, just in tech. I mean, I've had challenges as a woman lawyer, like my entire life, you know.
Yeah. You had a whole other career prior to that.
I mean, and you know, when you want to talk about a scenario where you stand up in front of the room and you have to be able to command authority, and you don't know these people from Adam, right? You just picked them out of the jury pool. You know, they're like, these are the dumb people who couldn't get out of jury service, you know? And you have to be able to tell them how to think about this case. And they have to say, okay. You know, so in terms of that ability to command that authority, you know, it's been, you know, a trial, pardon the pun, it's been a trial my entire career, you know.
Do you feel like that trial lawyer background beginning, you know, got you ready for dealing with it in tech, or it was just like
being a network engineer
piece of cake compared?
There are maybe a lot more women lawyers, at least in the, you know, in, in the county I practice in and in the practice area that I practice in, there are a lot more women. I think that tech recognizes its problem more than the law does. So, you know, there are very few women who make it to be partners or managers or, you know, a little bit more so maybe now judges. You know, there are very few women lawyers who get up into the highest echelons of the law. You know, take a look at the Supreme Court. I mean, there's 9 seats and there's what, two, three women now on it. So, you know, women are 50% of the population. So, you know, we're still missing 2 women.
That's really interesting. You know, you brought up a good point. Like tech is aware that it has a problem, right? It's aware, but you know, if what's being done about that problem is another question, but it is fairly self-aware in that regard.
And here's my point about what needs to get done. I mean, the tech industry was built by a bunch of dudes. You know, there are women contributions to tech that are embedded in its history that have disappeared because of all of the, you know, all of the guys who have come in the past, in the future. The problem with the tech industry and its gender disparity was built by men. So men have to participate in the solution. So they made this problem. Yeah. They need to, you know, put on their big girl panties and, you know, start working the solution, working the problem. So, you know, we've got a bunch of smart guys here. You know, it's a problem.
There are a lot of men who care about it, right? Yeah. There are a lot of men who are supportive and care about it. Case in point, we're here tonight. Right. And so, you know, I think, you know, something like this, giving your platform, you know, giving people a platform to speak, giving women a platform to speak. You know, I've always said, like, I have on my Twitter profile, I've had this tweet pinned up, one of my like first tweets, like, you know, I've had it pinned there forever because I feel like it is a question that I've had forever. And it's like, how do we get more women into network engineering, basically? And I've got so many responses from men on there. And they vary from like very supportive and thoughtful and like, you know, maybe we need to have more women making content for network engineers. Maybe we need to have, you know, more programs for girls specifically geared towards network engineering. And then we get the comments like, well, maybe women should try harder, or like maybe women need to not expect handouts or something. That was my one of the. So I leave that up there because every once in a while somebody looks at my profile and decides they want to answer, and it's really interesting hearing because it's almost always a man. Like most of the there are some from women, which are all helpful, but most of them are from men, and they're just like, you know, it's an interesting mix of people. But I think that there are men who care, right? Very much. But they don't know really where to start. So sometimes I like to say like, hey, you can do little things in your workplace. Like if a woman's talking in a meeting, you know, this doesn't have to be tech. This could be any career field, right? Like if a woman's trying to talk in a meeting and no one's listening to her, maybe you should command your presence in the room and bring everyone's attention back to her. You know, that might feel patronizing in the moment, but like, you know, you have to be an ally in some form or fashion. You got to try, right? Because a lot of men say they care, but they don't really do a whole lot about it. And they just sort of talk about it and don't do anything. And you're right. They have to participate actively. You got to try. You got to put yourself out there and listen to women, but be active about it too, right?
Yeah. And I think the things that I've appreciated the most is when a colleague who I've worked together on a project with acknowledges my part of it, right? Well, you know, stands up, he's like, well, I did this part. Yvonne did this, or these were her ideas, or she had the idea to, or, you know what I mean? Like acknowledgement of, and honestly, the culture where I'm at now in Google Cloud and in my particular team, that's been wonderful. And honestly, it's been so wonderful. It was startling to me, like, that somebody was like, hey, Yvonne did this thing and it was really good. You know, I mean, not that I haven't had people advocate in the past, but it was so intentional where I am now. So I think, you know, like you know, if she does, and I'm not saying say she's exceptional when she's not, but if she had an idea, and you should do this with anybody who has an idea, right?
Like, right.
That, absolutely. Give them credit for it, right? And support, you know, it just, that builds everybody up and is going to make the team better. But for me, I've deeply appreciated, or, you know, if you're meeting with an executive and working with her on a project and she's made a real contribution, bring her into the meeting. I had people do that for me.
Yeah.
And because she may need that like transitive trust that you can provide, right? She may not be able to get
that's
that
a great
on her
term.
Own. Yeah.
Transitive trust. That's a great term. That is pretty awesome. You make that up? I love it.
No, I hope I got it right. I was like, I think that's what
even
it's
if
called.
You didn't, I love it.
Yeah.
Transitive trust. Yeah. So
I trust you because somebody I trust trusts you. Right.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's a really, really great.
That's a solid
example of what someone can do.
I love your example, Yvonne, especially, you know, because we were talking earlier about how often it is where we're in a room and we're having a conversation and we're being talked over, or, you know, our, what we've contributed to the conversation is not being acknowledged. And that situation is such a vulnerability that someone dishonest could just come scoop in there and take whatever we've put on the table that we've contributed earnestly to the conversation and say, oh, look at what I just did. And, you know, rooster up and say, you know, caw-caw and to have colleagues who have that kind of integrity to say, oh, no, that idea belonged to Mish, or that idea belonged to Lexi or Yvonne, you know, is important. And I think that's an indicator of, a more healthy working environment. And I think that one of the things that really gives me hope, and this is the old union lawyer in me, talking about the great resignation and this flux that we've had this year of companies not being able to find the talent that they want, you know, or not being able to retain the talent that they need. I can't tell you, I've had like so many customers who are finding themselves in a pickle because all of a sudden their ACI talent, their ACI engineer is like, nah, I found something new. I'm out of here. 2 weeks. See ya. You know?
Right.
So, you know, that kind of atmosphere where companies are really thinking hard about how they retain the smarts that they need to retain really should be looking carefully at what does their culture look like? How are they treating the women engineers that they have? Or how are they going to attract or retain women engineers? You know, because the market is so competitive now that it's a really good time to push change. And, you know, I just went through an interview process for myself recently. And I flat out asked the hiring manager, I'm like, look, you know, I have a social media presence. I have a lot of women engineers who I talk to, you know, as a woman engineer, and a lot of women engineers who, you know, look to me, and I would like to be associated with a company. I need to be associated with a company that I would be proud of saying, as a woman, you would be treated well to work here. And I said, how do you respond to that? That is a need I have.
You are so much braver than I am.
Yeah, me too. I would never ask that.
I am so afraid to ask that question.
I was sitting on a job I already had. And I'm like, when you had all the cards. Yeah. I'm like, I have, you know, but I think important to ask those questions. How is it, because as a woman, and I had to be, you know, real truthful with you, you know, this is my third career. I don't have time. I don't have energy. I'm like old and tired now. And, you know, if I got to play those stupid ass sexist games, you know, I'm going to be leaving real quick. So I don't want to waste your time
for that.
One of the things I wanted to just circle back to that occurred to me as Michelin was talking is that you may find yourself in a situation where you realize that a woman is being talked over or talked down to, or there's just something not okay going on. And you're like, why doesn't she stand up? One thing that you need to understand is sometimes she can't, because if she does, she gets bitch stamped on her forehead and then she loses credibility. So there are situations where she's doing a social calculus about whether or not she's in an environment that's safe enough for her to push back. And you may have no idea whether it's an environment that's safe enough for her to push back because you're not living it every day. And that's not necessarily even a slight to you if you're a dude working in tech, but understand that sometimes women need somebody else to advocate for them from a position of safety and strength.
Yeah, that's totally true.
I mean, you know, and it's going to go so much further if you're like, Yvonne, finish your thought. And you don't have to be a jerk about it, but just like, or the girl in the meeting says something, and then some dude who never works, who heard a good idea, is like, oh, you know what? I think we should. And it's what the lady just said. Go, oh, yes, Yvonne just said that. I mean, it doesn't take a lot, and it doesn't even need to be confrontational. But that's what it is to advocate. It's not, you know, coming in ready to fight. It's acknowledging.
It doesn't take a whole.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people might be, a lot of men, I'm guessing, may be overwhelmed by the you know, at the thought of being an ally and advocate, because it sounds like it could take up a lot of energy and emotions. But you're not, just like Yvonne said, it's not, it doesn't take a whole lot, really, especially a man-to-man type of conversation or type of interaction. If you're a man telling another man, oh yeah, Yvonne just said that. Yvonne had a great point. Yvonne, can you repeat that? Sorry, some people may not have heard, or something like that. Like, that's all it takes. That's all it takes.
Right? And I mean, so. I think that there are a lot of different levels of it, of being supportive. And I my two bits is that, you know, if you're going to be supportive, you know, pick where you are on the spectrum, where you start out, and then move up. You know, it's great if you're in a meeting and I'm getting ignored, and you're like, oh yeah, Mish just said that. That was a great idea. But don't stick there forever. And, you know, you know, because at some point, like, you know, I think, you know, I've heard a lot of stories. I've never actually been in a situation, but I've heard a lot of horror stories where, you know, sitting in a meeting and someone just says something flat out inappropriate in the meeting, you know, and everybody's sitting around going, did he really just say that?
And
no one says anything. And, you know, it takes, I'm going to be real straightforward. It takes some real courage to step into that silence and say, dude, that was totally inappropriate. But that unanswered can do a lot of harm, can be can be just as bad as if that, you know, inappropriate was just had crawled across the table and stabbed you in the heart, you know? There are just some things where, you know, you just got to step. And I always struggle with this. I love it when, you know, to encourage people to be, you know, step up and give appropriate, you know, credit where credit is due. But it bothers me when that's all they do. You know, that's a great start. I'm really glad you're in that, but you can't rest on that.
The toughest part for me is, like, recognizing that inappropriate thing has happened, and then getting over the shock of it. Because honestly, I think I would, I like to say this, is I've never heard something super inappropriate in a meeting in front of everyone. I like to think I'm the kind of person who'd be like, all right, what the fuck? But I do understand like the shock of like someone saying something like that, because it doesn't happen often. I'm guessing at like decent places. That can be difficult, but you're right. Like you kind of have to push through that because stuff happens and you got to,
Well, and I've got one more horror story and then we're going to start being more positive. but I had a situation once where a different senior director, and this was a company that I loved working for, and my boss was amazing. But like I was, my senior director kept bugging one of our sales engineers for shirts. They never get us shirts. I'm like, come on, get us shirts. And so he's talking to the senior director. I stuck my head in the door. I'm like, hey, when are we going to get our shirts? And no joke, my senior director made a quip that involved me not having a shirt.
Ooh.
In front of a vendor that I didn't know.
Ooh.
And I turned red. I'm turning red now. I had to leave the room. You know what I mean? And like, I tried so hard to let it go. Like I tried to let it go and I couldn't. And so a few days later, I walked into his office and said, we need to talk. You know, a couple days ago, you said this thing and it made me really uncomfortable. Like, I don't want anything to be weird. I don't want it to go beyond this, but you need to know you said this thing and it made me really uncomfortable. And then he left me alone, which was fine. But then I went to my boss, who I really trusted, who I had a great relationship with. And I said, look, this is everything that went down. This is what he said. I went back and I said this to him. I don't want you to do anything, but I want you to know in case there's a change in attitude toward me, right? And so on one hand, yes, I'm saying, dude, sometimes you need to step up, but understand that a lot of times, like we have to have those very frank, direct conversations ourselves.
Like you said, it's social calculus, basically. Yeah. Like you have to weigh the pros and the cons. And, you know, like sometimes you're thinking like, okay, the weight, if I don't speak up, then all the other women who come after me or something may not, you know, they may have to deal with this too. So I kind of have a responsibility, but then it's like, well, but what about me? And like, I have to take care of myself. And what if there's retaliation? Yeah. I'm not going to.
And I knew the power dynamics. So much. I had been there several years. I knew I had credibility with leadership around that guy. I knew that he'd had issues with HR in the past. So he was really like, he really didn't want to go there again. Right. Like there are all these things. And so it felt like I could go.
Signs of a great guy. Just a great dude.
And, you know, he's a husband and a dad. And I don't know that, you know, I'm not going to say he's a horrible person.
Does not. Sorry. I'm going
to. It was not okay for him to say what he said.
No. Husbands and dads do this shit all the time. That does not preclude. You can have a daughter and that doesn't mean shit. I'm sorry. If you have a daughter, that doesn't mean you can't be sexist or gross to the women in your office. Yeah. Sorry, I'm not yelling at you. I hear men say this all the time. It's like, well, I have a daughter myself, so I would never. Yeah. I don't give a fuck if you have a daughter. That doesn't mean you're a good guy. It doesn't mean you just treated me appropriately, right? Because I'm not your daughter. So, you know, sorry.
I have a daughter as an excuse.
And, set me off.
And it doesn't fly in court. So,
right.
I have a daughter, so I would never, you know, X, Y, Z, you know, charge one, charge two, charge three.
And I said all that, really, told that story to kind of say, think about the jokes you tell, the movies you talk about, all the team getting together, going to lunch, those conversations,
right?
You know, I mean and I'm in the South. We use phrases like mixed company, which is a very old concept. But anyway, you know, like.
Is that an old phrase?
I don't know. I feel like it's a very Southern
Is it
gender role kind
is it,
of.
I didn't even realize.
Mixed company is like, you know, men and women together. Like, there's things that are okay for guys to talk about.
I didn't realize
okay
that was women the basis to talk about, of it.
Yeah, anyway, sorry.
Interesting. Okay.
Southern.
Okay,
sorry. And, but, you know.
We couldn't tell, Yvonne.
I know. But, you know, like, it's not okay to talk about, you know, how hot the chick was in the movie, or get detailed about your date last night, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, those are just not work appropriate conversations. Mm-hmm. And when a woman is present, it's, she may play it off and you may be like, oh yeah, but she's cool. Stop it. Right.
She's not okay with it.
Because she has a job to do and she wants a relationship with her peers. So she's acting cool because she's not going to be a jerk in every single conversation and tell you to shut up. But like,
and while we're on this topic, you said no horror story, no more horror stories, Yvonne, but no, it's okay. I understand. We're talking about it quite a bit, but there's one thing we haven't completely touched on yet that I think we need to, and that is hitting on your female coworkers. So, like, specifically, we've sort of talked about jokes, but that's a big problem. I think there's a lot of people in the chat. I am seeing the chat, by the way, guys. I'm sorry. But there's a lot of people in the chat talking about, you know, we have fathers who are like, I want to raise my boys right. I want to make sure they don't do this kind of stuff when they grow up. And I'm not a parent, so I can't, you know, speak to specific like parenting techniques or anything, but I just say, like, please start out, if you are willing to take a suggestion from me, please start out with teaching your boys the idea of consent, in some form or fashion, right? Like, don't hug if your child is really young, you know, and he wants to hug anybody, it doesn't have to be a little girl, but anybody, you know, if he wants to hug someone and that child doesn't want to hug him back, tell him, you know, don't hug her. She doesn't want to hug you. And that's okay. Right. Yeah. You know, things like that, because I remember being a girl and thinking this is problematic when I was very young, is like, you know, that little boy has a crush on you, go hug him. He wants to hug you. And I didn't want to hug him. Right. Like, just think about that. Yeah. So, but I think it starts in that sort of way. Teach your boys their whole lives not to be like, to respect other people's personal space. That includes whoever they're attracted to, right?
Well, the other thing too
is at a certain point. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, the other thing too is that, you know, in the context of the conversation we're having, which is that we're all network engineers, you know, that's a job, you know. I am showing up to work so that I can get my paycheck.
I'm not here to get hit on.
Same as you. You know, I am not here to get hit on. I am here to give you advice about your routing protocols or your data center, or, you know, let's talk about, you know, NXOS versus, you know, ACI versus VXLAN, open source. But you know what? If you want to talk about the size of my tits, or, you know, am I free on Friday? Go F yourself, you know? And let me go talk to my boss. Because,
I mean, you know,
I've been married. I got married really young. So that was never an issue for me. Like,
you never had people hit on you, even though you were married. I feel like that does not stop. That doesn't stop men sometimes.
Maybe. But I mean, I just was like, just don't flirt. Yeah. You don't, like, they're just, again, you be careful. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta be.
There's the social calculus though, right? Because, you know, if you're nice to you're new at a job, for example, and you're new to maybe the career field, and, you know, you're just being nice to everybody because you want to be friendly. They're your coworkers and you're trying to learn and you might be needing to learn from them. That can just being nice and friendly to people as a woman
is not flirting.
That can be misinterpreted.
That does not mean I'm available.
Yeah, that's not flirting.
Right.
That does not mean I'm available.
You know, I've had a man just completely assume that I'm interested in him, then find out that I'm not available, and then have a self-described mental breakdown about it, and then just completely ruin my work experience. So, you know, you teach your boys not to do that, maybe, and also, like, just keep in mind, you know, women are there to do a job. And even if she is single, even if she is looking for a man, it's not the end of the world if it's not you and it, like, you're her coworker, right? Like, you don't have to ask her out. Like, just move on. Just go somewhere else, right? I don't know. I think that's the safest option. I don't like being hit on at work. I'm sure there are women who would be okay with it if it's someone they're interested in, but it's just such a weird, tricky terrain. Just maybe don't do it. Like, default to not doing it. You can't lose.
So the analogy I use is that, you know, if you, and I'm talking to a male coworker, would have trouble if Eric hit on you, why the fuck do you think I'm not going to have trouble if you hit on me? You know, the workplace is the workplace is the workplace. I am here to work, not find a date, not get flirty with anybody, not get sexy with anybody, not to hook up. None of that shit happens at work. That's not what they're paying me to do. So, I don't understand why guys just can't keep that out of the workplace.
And especially true for women in network engineering.
Yeah.
They're there because they're interested in the craft. You know what I mean? They didn't choose this career because
there's so many women.
They're looking for a man, you know? That's a hard one.
No one picks a major like, oh yeah, there's almost no women in that major. There's almost no women in computer science. I'm going to go major in that. Like, are you kidding me? It's 2021. Yeah. You know?
So one of the things we've got in the notes, that I've always, and honestly, even about this podcast, I've always been reluctant to be the person carrying the flag for women in tech. Like, I wanted to be an engineer and I wanted to have conversations about engineering and I wanted to be technical because there's only so much bandwidth you have and only so many like causes you can give yourself to. Yeah. And I didn't want to be the woman who talks about being a woman all the time. Right?
That's a tough one.
Didn't I just say it about having to carry womanhood
on your shoulders all the time? Exactly.
What's up with that? I've yet to be on a team where I'm not the only woman. If I fail, does that mean that like everybody else on my team are like, oh, you know, those women engineers, they're so sketchy. You shouldn't have a woman engineer.
It's a lot of pressure.
I don't need that. Nobody needs that. You know?
Like we were talking about before, it should be okay to be just okay, you know, at your job. Like, it's great to be kick-ass. Right. A lot of women are, but like, it's okay if we're not.
So,
you know?
I had a really, really cool boss who was like, Mish, failure is a part of life. At some point in time, if you are doing the job, you will fail. You know, when that inevitability happens, you know, I don't want to be extra burdened with all of these conceptions of, oh, you know, women engineers just aren't up to snuff because Mish failed at X. I'm like, damn it, that's not fair. I mean, you don't do that when Eric fails. Why should you do that when I fail? You know, that's the remnant of that fiery, you know, hot-headed teenager saying, God damn it, the world should be more fair.
Something that I struggled with a lot, I think I'm finally starting to get over it. But especially when I started getting brought into the social media conversations, like when I was invited to be on Packet Pushers, when I was invited to participate in Tech Field Day. And they are wonderful. Those are wonderful organizations, and they did a lot for me in my career. Have nothing negative to say. But internally, I was always had that, well, they picked me because I'm a woman. And like, if I were a dude with my skills, would I have been selected? Right? I mean, that was a struggle for me. And on one hand, I'm like, well, I'm here, so I'm going to make the best of it. But at the same time, there was this internal, I don't know if it's imposter syndrome. I don't know what that is, but like, am I here just because they needed a woman? Because if you look at most of the delegate pools, there's one, sometimes two women.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, they just needed a woman. And I, like I said, I think I'm getting over that. But that was a real concern that am I just here as a token, as opposed to being a valid contributor that has something meaningful.
And that one's hard. That one's hard to address too, because, you know, of course people want to include women
and we want them to
trying to do better. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
But then that's that double-edged sword. So we can, it can only, what I'm saying is, I guess I think probably we can only solve it with time and more women coming into the field, because then that results in, you know, panels with more women than men sometimes. Right. And, you know, like it's a little bit more normalized, but right now it just, it's kind of this weird side effect of, you know, not very many women in the field.
And if you get the opportunity, take it, like, absolutely. Right. Those are great things. But just, it was always an internal struggle of mine.
You know, that reminds me, just real quick, I had an interview once upon a time where it was clear that I was not the right person for the job, like very early in. And the rest of the conversation was really awkward because we were trying to fill, I guess the interviewer was trying to fill like, you know, 30 minutes at least. But one of the things that he said to me towards the end was, oh, you're so lucky to be a woman. Everyone is looking for women. Everyone's trying to hire women. And it I'm sure he didn't mean it too terribly, but like it was,
but it really comes across really as
it made me feel really shitty.
Yeah. Like, I don't care who you are. I just want,
he's saying like, well, you suck, but you're lucky because you're a woman. So you'll get hired. You know, he's like, you suck at your job, but someone will hire you. You know, like that, that feels bad.
I mean, that's just another form of objectification though. I mean, we always talk about, oh, you look at that, you know, whatever movie and you cast that woman only just because she's got big tits and a great ass, you know, and she has no speaking lines and she feels no purpose in the plot, but you know, there she is. I don't want to be that woman. You know, I don't want to be that woman on any engineering team. And if that's what you're going to hire me, well, for then, you know, F that, because
thank you. Next,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Next. You know,
I'm glad when we hear that stuff though from people. Like, I'm glad I heard that from that interviewer, because you know, it made me feel better about really bombing that interview. I was like, I don't want to work there anyway. So I'm really glad I couldn't answer your BGP questions, man. You know, whatever. Yeah,
exactly. But I think that, you know, I struggle with this, you know, like I said, I've reinvented myself three times. I have always struggled with being confident about my own skills.
Yep.
You know, about being confident enough to say, I know that. I don't have to go Google that for affirmation. I can just say that in the room. I know that the answer to that question. Or I you know, and it's something that I don't know if it's as a woman or if it's as me personally, or, you know, as a lawyer, that facade of confidence is something that's a requirement. I mean, you know, you're going to suck as a lawyer if you can't emanate some kind of confidence in the courtroom. But that doesn't mean you have to feel that. I mean, it could be just as phony as an actor, you know, playing a role. So I've struggled, you know, about just being able to embrace that and, This is my third time around as a career. You know, I was really intentional about, okay, I know what skills I have and I know how strong they are, and trying to internalize, you know, that confidence. And I'm okay with saying, okay, you know what? I don't know shit about collab or I don't, you know, I'm going to have to get back to you on that.
It's being confident in what you know and you don't know.
But, you know, you've got an ACI question, and I'm telling you, it's not going to work that way. And I may not just stand up in the room and just tell you what to do because, you know, that woman thing. But You know, but God damn it, you know, I know I'm right.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we've talked about the challenges and some of the things that men have done that frustrate us. Why don't we talk about, pivot a little bit into like what, it's sort of that feeling, a sense of like, okay, what can men do? But also like, what have we specifically experienced that has helped us along, from men or other women, even, you know, help supporting us in our careers and in this field? I mean, at IBM, there was somebody who mentored me for a long time and he was just amazing. I mean, I consider him a close friend now. He just one day, you know, I expressed a little bit of interest in, I think, Python, and he was like, yeah, let's have a session. And he just, you know, we had a WebEx and we talked for 3 hours about Python and he gave me an introduction to it. And he, you know, ever since then, we've just been on and off talking about different things. He'd always, if I had a question, sit down with me and go over it. It just the best kind of working relationship I've ever had was, you know, this mentorship, right? Because there was never any mention of like, you're a woman, so I'm specifically mentoring you because I think more women should be in the field. No, it was just sort of, and maybe that's the reason why, or maybe that contributed, but right. He didn't say it and I didn't really care because he was nice. He was kind and he was helping me, right. Without being weird. Somehow right. That's really difficult for some men, but you know, so mentoring a woman in your field, not specifically necessarily just because she's a woman, but if she expressed interest, that's something you can do as a man in a professional environment that is appropriate, right. Acceptable, and very supportive. And mentoring does take a lot of energy and time. I know that, but if you have the mental space for it and you're ready to go, like if there's a woman who looks a little curious about something, you can at least ask like, hey, do you want to know more about that? And if she misinterprets it and doesn't like it and thinks you're being creepy, just let it go and leave her alone. Right. But if she's interested and she wants to engage with you, do it. You know,
I got to tell you, you know, and here's my contrast for having gone from different fields. When I got into network engineering, of course, you know, I started reading books and, you know, going online and things like that. And of course, the inevitable question comes up because, you know, you can't get like 100% of anything from like just a document. So, you know, I started asking questions. There are some incredibly generous, kind, smart people out there who are, you know, so free with their time and energy in tech. I think it is one of the biggest strengths of the industry that if you take some time to scratch around and find the right place, you will find some incredible people who will literally spend hours with you and will be just as excited when you get the concept as if they got it themselves. You know, I remember when I first started out, I was having a question and I was trying to figure this concept out. And I was on, it was actually the Cisco Learning Network. And I was posting back and forth, which is a kind of an awkward medium. And the person I was posting with ironically happened to be another woman. So that was actually really, really cool. And we were going back and forth in these posts with this big delay. And finally, she just said, I'm going to call you. She, you know, she didn't know me from Adam. I did not know her. She was going to help me with this, understand this problem. I found out on that call, she was calling me from the Middle East somewhere. And now I'm in the Pacific Northwest in the United States. So she's got to be like 9 time zones away. And that she took the time to call me and talk me through this problem that I was working on, you know, to this day, it still sticks with me. I mean, that people in this field, you know, are that generous with their time and with their own brain trust. And so that is, I mean, that's an incredibly awesome thing. So, you know, and again, it was a situation where it didn't matter that I was a woman, obviously, because, you know, she was a woman too. So all cool, you know, but I've had guys who've been like, you know, in Europe and they're like, hey, let me just, I have that config. Do you just want me to email it to you? You know, so, you know, if you look around there's a lot of hope. For me, there's a lot of hope. There's a lot to be proud about this community, that it's generous like that. You know, you just kind of got to step, or sometimes you just got to step around those, you know, those bad apples. And you know, I'm kind of the opinion that bad apples will make the whole barrel go bad. You know, so you got to identify them and kick them out. But, you know, there is a lot of the barrel in IT that is worth saving and is worth keeping in mind. So that's my two bits.
Yeah, I really echo that. Like the vast majority of my experiences have been positive. People have been decent and helpful. There are a couple folks in particular who have been advocates as long as I've worked for them, helped me get jobs, helped me get visibility inside an organization, who've amplified my voice. And that's been great. And I feel like specifically the networking community is great about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, there are like hardships and there are challenges. But it's like I said at the beginning, like at the end of the day, it's been great for me. It's been great for my career. It's been great for my family. And I've enjoyed the vast majority of it. And it far outweighs the negative. And, you know, I have had some difficult experiences. They've not all been because I'm a woman. Some of it's been I was in an organization with just a horribly broken culture. Some mm-hmm. of it was I was paired with people who there were just personality clashes that didn't work. And I don't believe that those were gender specific, because I know people of other genders who had similar issues. You know what I mean? So, I mean, life is struggle, you know, for everybody at one time or another. But there's just been a lot of good. Right. So,
I think that, Yvonne, I think you bring up a really good point. You know, for myself, and I think that I speak for you know, most, if not all women engineers, I don't
it's a want big to, mantle.
I know, shit. I'm there I go you. Again.
I'm joking with you. I'm sorry.
You know,
I'm so sorry. Yeah, exactly. I did not mean to throw you off. I'm just joking with you. Please, okay. Please.
You know,
every problem is not because you're a woman, yeah, right?
I don't want that. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, uh-uh. That's exactly. I just
at the
I
end
just
of the day, we're engineers, right?
I just want to be we another just, engineer.
Yeah, exactly.
At the end of the day, I just want to be recognized as another engineer. I want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And I don't, you know, I just want to be valued for what I can bring to the table, you know, in terms of my skills and in terms of the, you know, the solutions that I offer. Or maybe the perspective that I give on, you know, working a problem. If I could leave my skirt at the door and not have it be like some sexist joke and come into the room and just be, you know, another engineer, I would do that. I would do that in a split second, you know?
And, you know, I'm not recommending you do this because the world's been different when this happened. But I mean, for me, I always felt like when I reached the one of the guys sort of status, like that was a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because it meant I was a peer. But I get also how that may not be a moniker that every woman would appreciate. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I don't recommend you ever telling a female peer that like she's just like one of the guys, because depending on her background and her life experience, that may not be received well.
But that may not be the compliment you want it to be.
Right.
Yeah.
But for me, 20 years ago, it was like, okay, you know, we're peers. And right. That's what I want. I want to be a peer with, in the chat, why not peer or equal?
Being treated that way is really what you want, right? Yeah, like that's exactly, saying that to someone, maybe not the right words, but treating them that way.
Yeah.
I don't want to be treated specially because I'm a woman.
Yep.
I don't want to be treated specially because I'm not white. You know, I want to be, like I said, I want to be part of the solution that we're working on, you know, and I don't want,
I just don't want to be weird.
I don't want to be weird. I mean, don't make it weird, guys. Don't make it weird.
I mean, if I could summarize this whole conversation, it would be, don't be weird.
Don't make it weird.
Don't make it weird. Can we get that on like a bumper sticker or a laptop sticker?
Andy, that's the title of the episode. Don't make it weird.
Don't make it weird. You know, I hesitate to say it on a shirt because depending on where you place it, you know.
Don't even get me started about
shirts. Exactly. Nope. Yeah.
Ladies cut tees, people. Ladies cut tees.
Oh, for F's sake. Can I just say how many?
The vendor swag.
Vendor swag.
Too
stuff.
Masculine.
I'm like, do I look like a box? Oh my god, I'm like, no t-shirts.
If you've learned anything tonight, ladies cut tees, vendors. Yes. That's what we want.
Yeah, that's your takeaway today.
Thank you.
And even a small jacket, the sleeves are too long. Right? The struggle is real.
Man, I think that's a great place to actually sort of start wrapping up tonight now that we're there. Is there anything else y'all want to say? I feel like we've said a lot of stuff and I feel good, but is there anything else y'all want to say about, you know, what men can do, how to not make it weird, besides the t-shirts thing? Anything else we haven't touched on that you want to end with? Or,
well, I mean, I think so. If you've made it to the end of this conversation, thank you. Because it's a lot. But I do think the whole, you know, like women that I know that do this for a living, they really do just want to be peers. They want to be treated like, you know, just another colleague, and they want to make a contribution, and they want, they kind of want the same things. Well,
the network to work.
Yeah. They want the network to work. They want to be great at their jobs.
Yep.
They don't want to hear or talk or think about sex at work. You know, I mean, really, it's pretty simple, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you on that. I'm like, we're here to do a job. We're here to make the network work. We're here to make the packets go. And don't ask me if I want dinner with you, you know.
Unless it's like a team thing. Yeah. Invite me to that. You know, don't go do a you know, well, it's just the guys. No.
Team building, yes.
Yeah.
Date, no.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks everybody for joining us tonight. This has been a great conversation.
Awesome.
I've had so much fun with y'all. Thank you, Yvonne and Micheline. This has been wonderful. So I think we're ready to end it there.
Bye.
Hey everyone, this is AJ. If you like what you heard today, then make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Smash that bell icon to get notified of all of our future episodes. Also, follow us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at @ArtOfNetEng. That's @ArtOfNetEng. You can also find us on the web at artofnetworkengineering.com, where we post all of our show notes. You can read blog articles from the co-hosts and guests, and also a lot more news and info from the networking world. Thanks for listening.